The Bimer begins with the words that are found in this week's Torah portion towards the end. And it came in the middle of this day. Yatsu called Tzivas Havaya Me'eretz Mitzrayim. All of the hosts of God, as it's loosely translated, left the land of Egypt. So that's an unusual terminology. The word Tzivas usually refers to an army, like the army of God. Which was delivered on Yud Shvat, and the year was 1923, and this Maimer just was released right before the Rebbe was saying this Maimer. The Rebbe is right now in 1986, and he's speaking about a Maimer that had been printed for the first time more than 60 years later. The Tzarech Lahavim, that this needs to be understood. Maze the Yisrael Nikroim Tzivos Havaya. Why are the Jewish people, the Israelites, why are they called Tzivos, the hosts? The Shem Zeh, so there is a supposition that this has something to do with the idea that Tzivos is a name that's used for God also. So there's such a supposition. This is brought in the interior also. And it's pointed out, the Shem Zeh Le Nizker Beteira, even though it says Havaya Tzivos, that name is not mentioned in the Torah, and yet we call the Jewish people or Israelites leaving Mitzrayim Tzivos Havaya. The Rebbe adds a nuance to this question. The Masha Imr Bahamaimer, the Shem Zele Nizke B'Teira, when he emphasizes in the Maimer that this name is not mentioned in the Pentateuch, it's not mentioned in the Chamish Chumash Teira, it's not mentioned in the foundation of Teira, which contains the 613 mitzvahs, the name is not mentioned there. It's to emphasize more the precise analysis of these words. In other words, what is the virtue of being Tzivos Havaya? Why is it that this name, that this concept shows up with Yetzias Mitzrayim for the first time ever? It doesn't show up previously. And the question is why? Even though it's considered a sacred name of God. And in halacha, it's called Mehazayin Shemes She'enu Nimchokim. It's one of the seven names of God which cannot be erased. And if a person erases that name, he commits a sin. So nonetheless, Mikol Mokim, Mikivan Shashem Zen is Gala. Because this name was revealed, Raka Ide Hanavim, as it's brought down in Tera'er, the statement of our sages that until Chana, the mother of Shmuel, came along, nobody ever mentioned the name Havayat's voice. It was never, God is never referred to that way. So the conglomeration of these Hebrew letters that create a name of God is not mentioned in the Torah. It's mentioned later prophets, especially Zechariah, Malachi, Haggai, they mention this name a lot. But in the beginning of Torah, it's not mentioned. So then this name of God only shows up later. And nonetheless, the first time we identify the Jewish people as a nation, when they finally leave Mitzrayim, which is like a birth, if you will, because they were a nation in the bowels of another nation, and it's the first time that they're born, that we come into an independent existence, and right away, what are we called? Tzivos Havaya. So the question is, why are we called Tzivos? Eze Maila, Eze Inyinu Maila Hoya Oz, what virtue was there at that time of Matan Torah and party of Yetzias Mitzrayim, B'Torah Tzivos Havaya? Why call us this, the God takes the Israelites, the hosts of Israel, out of Mitzrayim? Why hosts? What does it mean? What would it have happened if it would have said, Yatsu Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim? Would anybody have a question? Certainly not. They called Israelites before, they called Israelites after. Why now, at this pivotal moment, when the nation of Israel is born, we feel compelled to call them the name Tzivos? That, my friends, is the question. So we have to understand what's up with this Tzivos, and it cannot be ignored, the fact that the primary use of this word has a military underpinning to it. So why do we use military terminology when we talk about leaving the land of Egypt? It's true that they left with weapons, that's true, but they didn't really leave in formation. For an army to march in formation, that takes months and months of training for people to be able to put their own idiosyncrasies aside and kind of commit themselves, dedicate themselves to a higher system where everybody marches a certain way. This was families, elderly people, crying babies. This is no army. It's not an organized exodus where they drilled and they planned for months how they're going to march out of Mitzrayim. Anything but that. And Moshe Rabbeinu emphasized that. The Pharaoh said, we'll send the young men away. Moshe says, nothing doing. the men and the woman. Okay, the men and the woman, none of the children. The children. Leave the elders home. No. Everybody. From the geriatric citizens to the newborns, everybody left Mitzrayim together. Everybody was there. It's anything but an army. It's the last imagery you would conjecture is the imagery of an orderly army that was leaving. You could imagine in your mind this cacophony of sounds, of weeping, of crying, of kvetching, you know, families. And yet the Torah decides to call us Tzivus Havaya. Why? Tzivot meaning. So this is a good question. What does it mean? It's translated as hosts, Lord of hosts. Hashem Tzivos is Lord of the hosts. We're talking about the constellations, the stars, the fullness of creation. It doesn't seem to fit here. It's odd to have, if you want to say that a tzava, an army, is called the tzava because they march in legions, in fashion, in formation. But this is anything but a formation. That the nature of Yetzias Mitzrayim would have been anything but it. In order to understand why it is that when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim for the very first time, they had to be identified with such an unusual name. So in order to understand this, we have to really go back to revisit creation itself. Hineksiv, behold, it is written, and this is a famous verse from the Song of Songs, Shir Hashirim, Basi Lagani Achisikala. I have come to my garden, my sister, my bride. Sister is an endearing term. V'isav medeshaba b'mkoyme in medeshaba. It's found in a number of places, but we emphasize here that it's found in Shir Hashirim, Legani Lignuni. Legani to my garden. God says in the metaphor, I came to a garden. I didn't come to a bridal chamber, my garden. And this is the idea, L'makim shahoya ikri b'tchila. God is, as it were, saying, I came back to where I was to begin with. This was where the ikr shechina b'tachtayim, the primary dwelling of God's presence was not in the heavens, was not in the spiritual realms, but rather in this material terrestrial world. So if the world was created with God's presence manifest, what happened? The answer is people got involved. And as soon as people were created, they made problems. And there were seven terrible things that happened, starting with the sin of the tree of knowledge, which is the original sin for Jewish people in our Torah. And then after that came the sin of homicide. This was Cain killed Hevel. And then after that came the sin of idolatry and all kinds of other sins. And as a result of these sins, the presence of God was driven far, far away from this world. And then, achar kach amdu zayin tzaddikim, there were seven righteous people who rose up and toiled and made every effort to try to reintroduce God consciousness into civilization and society, try to make this world a godly and a holy place. And it starts off with Avram Avinu and the Achabah Mesha until Mesha comes to Huashvi. Mesh is the seventh, v'cholashvi and chaviv, and all seven sadir, v'hirido l'mata ba'oretz. Mesh Rabbeinu, who's the seventh, merits to actualize God's presence here in this world. V'ikir gili alakus, where was God's presence manifest in a revealed way, is the Beis HaMikdash. Tichsiv, as it is written, v'asoli migdash, v'shachanti b'seicham. God says, you'll make me a dwelling place, and I will dwell there, I'll dwell amongst them. So we have this emphasis that make a Beis HaMikdash, and God says, I will dwell amongst there. In other words, you have boiled the essence of creation, or at least the first 2,500 years of creation, down to a world created, God's presence is manifest, sins are done, drives God's presence away, mitzvahs are done, lifetimes of Mesiras Nefesh, actualize or bring God's presence down back into this world, until it culminates with the idea of a Beis HaMikdash. The Rebbe says, V'yashleim en akavana mashakosev ikir hagili hoyeb Beis HaMikdash, the deeper meaning of the primary dwelling, primary manifestation, was in the Beis HaMikdash. Ki hascholos hamshacha l'mata ayidei Mesha ha'isav matan Torah. Initially, Moshe Rabbeinu brings the Shechina down into this realm. Where? At Mount Sinai. When? At the time of giving the Torah. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu brings it down. V'lachein oimer, that's why he says, she'ikir hagilui, that the primary manifestation, what does it mean, the primary manifestation? The way we saw a new God at Matan Torah was much more profound than the way God's presence revealed itself later on in the Mishkan. And even much more profound than in the Beis HaMikdash. At the time of Matan Torah, the people literally saw the heavens torn open. And Moshe Rabbeinu himself talks about this in his final sermon. And he talks about Atar Reis L'Adas, Ki Hashem Elokim, he says, God tore open the heavens. You saw everything. You knew everything. It was the most incredible and remarkable kind of divine revelation ever in history. The only thing that will rival it will be the coming of Mashiach. And yet we say that the Ikir Gili, that the primary revelation, was in the Beis HaMikdash. How could that be? So the Rebbe says, what does it mean, Ikir Gili? Ikir Gili doesn't mean for a momentary revelation. that there is a moment when we see and know the presence of God, but ba'ifin shel kvius, where there's a permanence. Not that there was a flash and then it was gone, but rather it remained. That's that inyan of gnuni. This bridal chamber, this garden is a place where God's presence is ever manifest. And that, my friends, was only primarily when the Mishkan was finally built. Sha'oz nasa hamshachas ikir shechina lamata. That brought about the hamshacha, the actualization, the drawing down of God's presence, ba'ifin kavua v'nitzchi, in a way of permanence, in a way of posterity. Why? Because, as the Rebbe adds in the brackets here, Maisha, the handiwork, the things that Moshe Rabbeinu put his hand to, were necessarily something that lasted forever. Ubefrata Mishkan she'asa Moshe, especially the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu built. Shemimenu lemeidim al kol Maisa Moshe. It is from the Mishnah, and the fact that the Mishkan remains intact, as the Gemara in Seita tells us on Daf Tes, that's the reason, that's the origin, that's the source of this whole idea that Maisa Moshe Nitzchin Hema, that the handiwork of Moshe is everlasting. So the Mishkan, which was the beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu's bringing forth and creating the presence of God in a way that remains with us. So this concept of bringing the presence of God in a way that remains with us, goes from the Beis HaMikdash. Where does it metamorphosize to? It moves from the Beis HaMikdash, from the Mishkan, into the Beis HaMikdash, and eventually to Yerushalayim. And it's from the Beis HaMikdash on the Har HaBayit that light comes to the whole world, and that's why there was Chaleinus Shkufim Atumim, is brought on the famous teaching. The Medrash says that the windows were oddly shaped, not to bring light in, but rather to diffuse light outward, because that motif is the essence of the Beis HaMikdash. Moisiv b'hamaymer, the maimer, the Friedrich Rebbe adds, Diyak loshna kasa v'shachanti b'seichem. We emphasize that it doesn't say v'shachanti b'seichem l'nemer. It doesn't say in him, singular, ela b'seichem amongst them. A mishkan is singular, v'asuli migdash, one migdash. And yet, v'shachanti, the shechina is b'seichem, amongst them. Why is this? And the answer is, that it's b'seichel echad v'yechad, it's God's presence amongst each and every one. The kol echad v'echad mi Yisrael, each and every member of Am Yisrael, al yidei ha'avedet v'asuli migdash, by toiling and working at this idea of making God a migdash, she'inyon ha'avedet v'iskafya v'ishapchet, this avedet, that the way we make this world into a mishkan, into a place where God's presence dwells, is by crushing and subduing the Yetzirah, and ultimately by harnessing, sublimating, and transforming the Yetzirah. So when we do this, and everybody's got this challenge in one way, shape, form, or another, when we do this, we create Ishapcha HaShechel in the Hira. We transform darkness into brilliance, into light. Va'ad, so much so, Shazdein is Nasek Ezochias, that it's possible at some point, through intense effort and loyalty and love that's expended in God's direction, that things which were sinful and therefore served as a barrier between us and God, that those things can become a conduit to God's presence. It's total transformation. That which served as an obstacle to godliness in this world, that actually became the thing that brought God's presence into our life. That means Deinus Naslek Ezochias. Like there are many stories, even on a simple level, of people involved in sinful behavior, and that sinful behavior itself served to catalyze an awakening. That itself is what made them realize this is all wrong. So that act is not, instead of an act which traditionally would be one that divides us from Hashem, that act ended up catalyzing or causing a closeness to Hashem. And so the negative situation has to be rotated. It turns around. It becomes positive. And what happens as a result? Then there has this idea of God's presence amongst us, which is the hamshacha, the bringing forth, the actualization of ikar shechina, of the primary presence of God b'tachtonim. V'zehu tzadikim yirshu aretz. This is the meaning of the pasuk that says tzadikim will inherit the land, says David HaMelech in Tehillim, v'yishkinu la'adaleh. They will dwell for eternity upon it. What does this mean? Even if we have to inherit a land, we don't dwell for eternity, or we don't inherit it for eternity. Inherit the land. Eventually, the land inherits you. What does it mean that you inherit the land? The yishkinul, we dwell upon it forever. So the aveda. So what it really means is the aveda is called echad v'echad mi'Yisrael. The first thing is it says tzaddikim, but tzaddikim is euphemistically referring to every single yid. every yid is righteous or has potential for righteousness. As the pasuk also says, a different pasuk, this is from Yeshayahu, that augments and complements the verse of Tillim. It says, Va'amech kulum tzaddikim. So oftentimes when the Rebbe would speak, or Chassidus in general, the Rabbeim would speak about the pasuk that says, tzaddikim, Yirshu Aretz, tzaddikim inherit the land, emphasis on tzaddikim, the Rabbeim would connect that, link that to the pasuk in Yeshayahu that says, Va'amech kulum tzaddikim. This refers not to a special Jew or a coterie of unique righteous individuals, but rather it refers to Va'amech, that all of the nation is seen through the prism of being righteous. And he, V'yishkin olad aleha, so these tzaddikim, meaning every member of Am Yisrael, will dwell for eternity. What does it mean, dwell for eternity? So the way Chassidus interprets it, it doesn't mean dwell, but it means really lahashkin. It means to bring forth, lahamshach, to draw down, b'chinas ad. Ad means marim v'kodesh aleha, to bring down God's presence. And when you do a mitzvah, let me tell you a little secret. You make an eternal impact. The bringing forth of God's presence is not something that was done once when you did the mitzvah. But in truth, bringing forth goodness and actualizing godliness, this is something that's eternal. It's something that lasts forever. So that's the meaning of Yishkinu Lad Aleho. If you inherit the land, you bring, so to speak, God into earthliness, into this world. It doesn't happen easy. This is the way God made it. God made it that it should happen only with tremendous effort. You want to have beautiful things? People make beautiful things. They have to toil. The paintings don't paint themselves. The cakes don't bake themselves. The main course doesn't arrange itself. You want something beautiful? You have to toil at it. And oftentimes, it takes a lot of patience and a lot of stamina. And people sometimes want to give up in the middle, especially when it's a big deal, something that takes weeks, maybe years or even decades. You have to have the staying power and keep pushing yourself and overcome melancholy and laziness. It's not an easy thing. But if you keep pushing at it and you overcome the natural inclination to take the path of least resistance or just do nothing, and you work at it, eventually from Iskafia you come to Ishabcha, Kemaimer, like the saying that's brought down from the Zohar, Kad Iskafia Sitra Achra, when you crush the Sitra Achra, Istalaki Kardiko Chibrichu Bukhulu Alman, that brings forth the glory of God in all worlds. And that is to say that this brings forth an Ur Naila, a very lofty light, Bukhulu Alman. And it's an energy, a presence of God, which transcends the difference of geder ilumis, of the frame of the individual realities of each world. And that's why it's called, this hamshacha is called istalik, because the term istalik in Hebrew represents the hamshacha and the gilui ur that comes in a way of reimimus and siluk. It comes, it's not the way a gilui ur, it's not a revelation that comes in matched and married in accordance with each and every single level, but it's something overwhelming. It's something awesome, something all-encompassing that washes over all of reality equally. And when a person gets in the details, yes, not the devil, God is in the details, and you toil with this little Yetzihara and the little niggling challenges and problems that say, stop it, don't bother, there's every reason why you shouldn't involve yourself in doing what is good, right, and holy, but you stay the course and you do it. So then this is creates Hamshachas Iker Shechina B'Tachtenim. He continues on in the Maimer. He says, this is the reason that the Mishkan, the temporary traveling tabernacle that was built by Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people in the desert, was made primarily of atzei shittim, of acacia cedar wood. Because the purpose of the Mishkan and the Migdash is lahapcha chashechel neheira, is all about transformation, light becoming darkness, becoming light. That's why this word shows up so many times in Parshas Truma and Tetzaveh when we speak about creating, fashioning that building, that receptacle for God's holiness. What is it reminiscent of? What does it allude to? It talks of hafichas shtus l'umaze, the stupidity, the folly, the narishkeit of this world into a shtus, into a holy folly, into that. In other words, people behave in a way which is foolish, meaning beneath rhyme and reason. Doesn't even make any sense. And what's our response? To be loyal, to be dedicated to Hashem in a way that's beyond rhyme and reason. This is why they're called krushim, the boards. You make the krushim for the Mishkan. The krushim served as the walls. They were atzeshitim imdim, which keresh is the same words as kesher. Kesher means, keresh is a board. Kesher means a bond, a connection, a link. And it's also the same words, same Hebrew letters that form the word sheker. What does sheker mean? Lies, falsehood, deceit. The fact that this world is a conglomeration. from the level of quantum physics. Everything is bound together. This world is an interdependent organism. Everything depends on the other. Everything in this world is interconnected. This world is an incredible, incredible reality, the universe of synergy. Everything depending, everything interlocking. Everything, one thing locked into the other. So this entire kesher of the world, where everything, so to speak, is pulled together and nothing is independent, that's what we call the universe. The universe ultimately is all undergirded by one force. So this universe, which is represented through the concept of a kesher, of all being brought together, Masha Olam, however, you should know this kesher, Masha Olam, Ma'ar Atzmi L'Metzius, the fact that the world seems, on the surface, to be an independent reality, separate apart and unique from God's power, that's a sheker. That's a lie. That quantum physics is stuff is a big lie. It's not true. In the Kivin Shemitzad Atzmi Ein L'Metzius Kol, the truth is, in and of itself, the world has no reality. V'chol Metzius, the whole reality of the world, the Ma'ak Shah Dover, Ha'yim Misaveh, the word of God, so to speak, is bringing into existence each and every single moment. And it comes into existence from absolutely nothing, as they say in Latin, ex nihilo. Even though this world is not a virtual reality, it is true reality. Torah itself says it's reality. So you can't go around saying, the world is nothing. Nothing is anything because it doesn't make a difference. God's bringing it to existence, so it has no reality. No, it does have a reality. This God says the reality God created, this is not kosher. This you shouldn't eat. And this is a bad activity. This should not be done. Why? It's nothing. The whole world is nothing. It's just a bunch of organisms. It's just quantum physics. It's just things that are happening. No, don't say that. It is a reality. Torah says it's a reality. However, you should know the reality is not independent. And the fact that it looks like this world is independent is a sheker gomor. It's the greatest lie of all time. So what does it mean to make krashim? We're supposed to take the foolishness, the folly of this world, and transform and translate it into holiness. You take the world, which is bound together of many, many different conglomerations and pieces that are all interlocking. You take the world, which is essentially the remarkable structure of quantum physics, and that seems to be really independent, and that's a sheker. So what do you make out of that sheker? Out of that kesher, you make a kerish. You make boards of the Mishkan. In other words, you make a vehicle for God's presence. You make a physical place where God dwells. And this is Hamshachas Ikashchina Mitachtanim. That is really what it's all about. This world being the place where God's primary, not secondary, primary dwelling is. That's why we call Tzivus Havaya. We never answer that question. This is why we left Mitzrayim called being God's Tzivus. This is the work of each and every single member of Am Yisrael. Our work is to bring God's presence into this world. This is not the domain of rabbis and rebbetzins, not the domain of Torah scholars. It's not the domain of people who have a unique role to play. It's the domain of every single member of Am Yisrael, without exception. And as it says, v'shachanti, not v'soichoi, not in him, but rather v'soichom, amongst them. And the emphasis is v'soich kol echad v'echad, each and every single one. So tzricha liyas b'chinas tzava. This has to be in the way of tzava. What does that mean? Well, in Yenu, the thing is, the word tzva, tzadik beis aleph, has three interpretations. Number one is l'shen chel. Number one is the terminology which is militaristic, an army. Army formation. Army discipline. Beis is l'shen zman mugbal. The second is limited amount of time, a limited frame of time. K'mesh kasev, like it says in the book of Job, and this is right in the beginning of the seventh chapter, he says, Halei tzva le'enesh alea aretz. There is a set time. That's what Radak and the other Mefarshim say. So does David say, set time. Zman katsuv, a set time to get the job done. So Eev says, don't laugh at me. Don't look at me funny. Everybody's got a set time. Who has time for that kind of behavior? V'hagimul is miloshen sivyin. The third comes from the terminology of the different components that operate in sync, a synergy of many different parts. Kedrasha sazal api vayichulu. When the Torah introduces in the first parsha that God completed creation, it says, vayichulu v'gemer, it says, the world, l'chol tzva'am. So what does the Gemara say about this? Litziv yoinam nivru, that the world was created with all of its interdependent compartments, all of its pieces that were operating in conglomeration. So the Rebbe interprets now these three terms, these three etymological terms, in a manner that's translated into practical day-to-day commitment to Hashem. Number one, tzava lashon chel. The first thing is, you're in the army. Salute, you're in the army. What does it mean to be in the army? A salute is an act of disarmament. When you salute to a superior, you show you don't have a weapon in your hand. That's the idea of a salute. The idea of an army is kabbalas oil, the acceptance of the yoke, acceptance of authority. And this is reishis aveda. It all begins with the acceptance of God's authority. And that is ikra, that is the primary aveda. Not only it's something done for small children, but throughout life, it all boils down to discipline. An army that has no discipline is not an army. They could have the biggest guns, they could have the fastest tanks, they could have the well-trained fighters. If there's no discipline, if they don't follow orders, you have chaos. In order for a yid to be able to do his or her job, there has to be discipline. Kabbalah soil. The readiness to say, yes, sir. Whatever you say, God, I do understand, I don't understand, I like it, I don't like it. These things are irrelevant. There are many levels of discipline. There are many levels of acceptance. There are many levels of taking this yoke on. As it says, going from strength to strength, the Rebbe says something fascinating. It says going from strength to strength means don't stand in one place, but continue to progress in your efforts of Yiddishkeit. Continue to grow, to wax from level to level. But the level to level is called chayel el chayel. What's chayel el chayel? So it literally translates as strength to strength. But the Rebbe says there is a secondary message, a subtext in the strength to strength. The words used to describe the strength to strength and your accomplishment, your efforts of Avedus Hashem, is the same word used to describe a soldier and an army. What's the message? That in order to go from strength to strength, that there has to be, you have to have the readiness, the discipline of a soldier. That's how you go from strength to strength. Strength to strength doesn't mean that at a certain point I leave behind the discipline and now I go with my own strength. Now I don't need to have that discipline anymore because now I've developed my own understanding and appreciation. Now I can go forth with my own security. Now I go forth with my own confidence. Wrong. We follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a sense of discipline, with a sense of absolute readiness to listen, to be ready to obey. And that's the idea of the army. That's the concept of the Kabbalas El and the Yira. It starts from Yira Tato, what's called the lowest level of reverence or awe, and it goes to Yira Ilah, to a higher, exalted level, till we have Yira's Beishas, that is not fear of what the superior will do to you, but you're just overwhelmed by the greatness, by the grandeur of the superior. That's how we should be before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the first thing. Why are we called Tzivos Havaya? Because we were getting our, quote, marching orders. You want to be God's people? You want to do this job? You want to bring the Shekhinah into this world? Ready to join the army. Then you have to march. Then you have to be ready to accept. There's got to be discipline. That's the core principle and value of Judaism. What's the next thing? The next thing is Tzava Lashon Tzivyon. The idea, the other idea, it's not, I ended up changing the order here, but the idea of Tzivyon is the union of Iskalos. Components. We're all different. We're all unique. None of us are the same. Yet, if we work in tandem, if we can put our own differences aside, if we can focus on the greater good and the bigger plan, then we can succeed. Although the Jewish people have many different levels, and they're divided oftentimes, from one extreme to the other, you have people who are intellectuals. That's their defining hallmark. They're Mori Torah. They're called masters of Torah. And then there are other Jews who are Noshim Pshutim, the simplest of people. Rak Mori Uvdin Tovin. The only virtue they bring to the table is action-oriented. They're activists. They do good things. There's nothing to talk about in the arena of cerebral accomplishment. They're not intellectuals at all. Maybe they're not even emotional or maybe passionate, but they do a lot of good things. So that's one extreme to the other. These are the components. These are the parts of Israel. These are the formation of many different interlocking realities. But it's one army. The army is comprised of many levels. But all those components, they act in concert, in tandem. Of ribu gvanim, of many different colors, so to speak. The tachlis hayoifi, real beauty. real tzivyon, which also can mean colors, even though tzeva was used with ayin, it could also mean the idea of the different synergy of colors, the concert of different realities, is mashakol umaribi gavon, and beauty is comprised of many colors, not of a monolithic, monochromatic reality where everything is the same color, same size, same shape, everything is the same. On the contrary, it's diversity that creates beauty. So we have the idea of discipline. Then we have the idea of diversity. But diversity not in chaos, but diversity in tandem, in concert. And finally, we have the other meaning, which is tzava lashon zman mugel. You only have so many days, my friends. The clock is ticking. The time is now. Halei tzava le'enish alei aretz. People have a limited amount of time. And now there's no time to waste. There's no time to focus on other things. There's a job to be done. Each and every one of us is given a specific amount of time, and nobody knows what that time is. To serve Hashem, to make this world a holier place, and that's half the mimer. We don't have time for the other half, but at least we have an answer now to our question. We know why the Jewish people were called Tzivos Havaya, because the first message to us is, if we were to succeed, we have to know all of these three things. These were the three core values of Judaism. We have to be ready to follow Hashem and obediently. We have to know and understand that each and every one of us has a role to play as long as we do it in concert. And finally, the time is now, because nobody knows when the time comes.